century Italian monk, Francesco Colonna. Above, a painting entitled Time is a River Without Banks by the modern artist Marc Chagall. The unexpected association of these images, fish, violin, clock, lovers, has all the strangeness of a dream. The mythological aspect of ordinary numbers appears in Mayan reliefs, top of page, circa AD 730, which personify numerical divisions of time as gods. The pyramid of dots above represents the tetractys of Greek Pythagorean philosophy, 6th century BC. It includes four numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, making a total of 10. Both 4 and 10 were worshipped as divinities by the Pythagoreans. Not only numbers, but such familiar objects as stones and trees can have symbolic importance for many people. Left, rough stones placed on the roadside by travelers in India represent the lingam, the Hindu phallic symbol of creativity. Right, a tree in West Africa that the tribesmen call a juju or spirit tree, and to which they ascribe magical power. Left, a witch doctor from Cameroon wearing a lion mask. He isn't pretending to be a lion, he is convinced that he is a lion. Like the Nyanga tribesman and his bird mask, page 25, he shares a psychic identity with the animal, an identity that exists in the realm of myth and symbolism. Modern rational man has tried to cut himself off from such psychic associations, which nevertheless survive in the unconscious. To him, a spade is a spade, and a lion is only what the dictionary, right, says it is. Lion, noun, a large, fierce, tawny, loud-roaring animal of the cat family, the male with shaggy mane. Figurative, a man of unusual courage. Astronomy, the constellation or the sign Leo, any object of interest, especially a famous or conspicuous person much sought after, from the lions once kept in the Tower, one of the sights of London. An old Scots coin with a lion on the obverse, worth 74 shillings Scots, James VI. Feminine, lioness. Names, Lioncel, L-I-O-N-C-E-L, Lioncel, L-I-O-N-C-E-L-L-E, Lionel. Heraldry, a small lion used as a bearing. Lionet, a young lion. Lionheart, one with great courage. Adjective, lion-hearted. Noun, lion hunter, a hunter of lions, one who runs after celebrities. Verb, transitive, lionize, to treat as a lion or object of interest, to go around the sights of, to show the sights to. Noun, lionism, lionizing, lion-like appearance in leprosy. Adjectives, lion-like, lionly, lion's provider, the jackal, supposed to attend upon the lion, really his hanger-on. Lion's share, the whole or greater part. Left, St. Paul struck down by the impact of his vision of Christ, in a painting by the 16th century Italian artist Caravaggio. Above, Javanese farmers sacrifice a cock to protect their fields from spirits. Such beliefs and practices are fundamental in primitive life. Above, in a modern sculpture by Britain's Jacob Epstein, man is seen as a mechanized monster, perhaps an image of today's evil spirits. Left, two further visualizations of spirits. Top, hellish demons descend on St. Anthony, a painting by the 16th century German artist Grunewald. Below, in the center panel of a 19th century Japanese triptych, the ghost of a murdered man strikes down his killer. Ideological conflict breeds many of modern man's demons. Right, a cartoon by America's Gayon Wilson depicts the shadow of the former Russian leader Khrushchev as a monstrous death machine. Far right, a cartoon from the Russian magazine Crocodile shows colonialism as a demonic wolf being driven into the sea by the flags of various independent African nations. Left, two influences to which an individual's consciousness is subjected, advertising, a 1960s American advertisement stressing sociability, and political propaganda, a French poster for a 1962 referendum, urging a vote of yes, but plastered with the opposition's no. These and other influences may cause us to live in ways unsuited to our individual natures, and the psychic imbalance that can follow must be compensated for by the unconscious. The lighthouse keeper, Wright, in a cartoon by America's Roland V. Wilson, has apparently become a little disturbed psychologically by his isolation. His unconscious, in its compensatory function, has produced a hallucinatory companion to whom the keeper confesses, in the cartoon caption, "Not only that, Bill, but I caught myself talking to myself again yesterday." The Delphic Oracle, below, being consulted by King Aegeus of Athens, from a vase painting. Messages from the unconscious are often as cryptic and ambiguous as were the oracle's utterances. Left, a photograph of Jung, fourth from the right, in 1926 with the tribesmen of Mount Elgon, Kenya. Jung's first-hand study of primitive societies led to many of his most valuable psychological insights. Right, two dream books, one from 20th century Britain and the other from ancient Egypt. The latter is among the oldest written documents extant, circa 2000 BC. Such ready-made rule-of-thumb interpretation of dreams is worthless. Dreams are highly individualized, and their symbolism cannot be pigeonholed. Top of page. A famous example of the common dream of growing larger. A drawing from Alice in Wonderland, 1877, shows Alice growing to fill a house. Center. The equally common dream of flying, in a 19th century drawing by the British artist William Blake, entitled, "Oh, how I dreamt of things impossible." Inanimate objects sometimes seem to act symbolically. Left, the clock of Frederick the Great, which stopped when its owner died in 1786. Symbols are produced spontaneously from the unconscious, though they may later be consciously elaborated. Right, the Ankh, ancient Egypt's symbol of life, the universe, and man. By contrast, the Airways insignia, far right, are consciously contrived signs, not symbols. Right. Jung's mother and father. Jung's interest in ancient religion and mythology drew him away from the religious world of his parents. His father was a pastor, as shown by the dream, discussed on this page, that he had while working with Freud. Far right. Jung at Burghützli Hospital, Zurich, where he worked in 1900 as a psychiatrist. An assertive extrovert overpowers a withdrawn introvert in a cartoon by America's Jules Pfeiffer. These Jungian terms for human types are not dogmatic. For instance, Gandhi, right, was both an ascetic, introvert, and a political leader, extrovert. Any individual, any face in the crowd, far right, can only more or less be categorized. The compass of the psyche, another Jungian way of looking at people in general. Each point on the compass has its opposite. For a thinking type, the feeling side would be least developed. Feeling here means the faculty of weighing and evaluating experience in the way that one might say, "I feel that is a good thing to do," without needing to analyze or rationalize the why of the action. Of course, there is overlapping in each individual. In a sensation person, the thinking or the feeling side could be almost as strong, and intuition, the opposite, would be weakest. Narrator's note. This illustration consists of two circles divided into quadrants. The first of them has sensation at the 12 o'clock position, with an arrow below pointing clockwise. Then at 3 o'clock, thought, at 6 o'clock, intuition, and at 9 o'clock, feeling. The lower half of the circle is shaded. The second circle has thought in the 12 o'clock position, with an arrow beneath pointing both clockwise and counterclockwise. Intuition is at 3 o'clock, feeling at 6 o'clock, and sensation at 9 o'clock. Again, the lower half of the circle is shaded. End of narrator's note. Left, a down-and-out alcoholic in a New York slum, from the 1955 film On the Bowery. Such a figure might appear in the dreams of a man who felt himself to be superior to others. In this way, his unconscious would be compensating for his conscious mind's one-sidedness. Right, the nightmare, painted by the 18th-century Swiss-born artist Henry Fuseli. Almost everyone has been awakened, upset, or disturbed by his dreams. Our sleep does not appear to be protected from the contents of the unconscious. Right, the heroic dreams with which Walter Mitty, in the 1947 film of James Thurber's story, compensates his sense of inferiority. The madhouse, painted by Goya. Note the king and the bishop on the right. Schizophrenia often takes the form of personal exaltation. As this museum display shows, the fetus of man resembles those of other animals, and thus provides an indication of man's physical evolution. The psyche, too, has evolved, and some contents of modern man's unconscious resemble products of the mind of ancient man. Jung termed these products archetypal images. Man's unconscious archetypal images are as instinctive as the ability of geese to migrate in formation, as ants forming organized societies, as bees' tail-wagging dance above that communicates to the hive the exact location of a food source. A modern professor had a vision exactly like a woodcut in an old book that he had never seen. Right, the book's title page, and another woodcut, symbolizing the male and female principles united. Such archetypal symbols arise from the psyche's age-old collective basis. Parallels to archetypal motifs in The Girl's First Dream, page 70. Left, from Strasbourg Cathedral, Christ crucified on Adam's grave, symbolizing the theme of rebirth. Christ as the second Adam. In a Navajo sand painting, above, the horned heads are the four corners of the world. In Britain's royal coronation ceremony, the monarch, right, Queen Elizabeth II in 1953, is presented to the people at the four doors of Westminster Abbey. Above, the hero god Raven of the Haida Indians of America's Pacific coast, in the belly of a whale, corresponding to the devouring monster motif in The Girl's First Dream, page 70. The girl's second dream, of angels in hell and demons in heaven, seems to embody the idea of the relativity of morality. The same concept is expressed in the dual aspect of the fallen angel, who is both Satan, the devil, and right, Lucifer, the resplendent bringer of light. These opposites can also be seen in the figure of God, far right, in a drawing by Blake. He appears to Job in a dream with a cloven hoof like a demon's. The little girl's dreams, page 70, contain symbols of creation, death, and rebirth, which resemble the teachings given to adolescents in primitive initiation rituals. Left, the end of a Navajo ceremony. A girl, having become a woman, goes into the desert to meditate. Death and rebirth symbolism also appears in dreams at the end of life, when the approach of death casts a shadow before it. Right, one of Goya's last paintings. The strange creature, apparently a dog, that emerges from the dark, can be interpreted as the artist's foreshadowing of his death. In many mythologies, dogs appear as guides to the land of the dead. Some dreams seem to predict the future, perhaps due to unconscious knowledge of future possibilities. Thus, dreams were long used as divination. In Greece, the sick would ask the healing god Asclepius for a dream indicating a cure. Left, a relief depicts such a dream cure. A snake, the god's symbol, bites a man's diseased shoulder, and the god, far left, heals the shoulder. Right, Constantine, an Italian painting, circa 1460, dreaming before a battle that was to make him Roman emperor. He dreamed of the cross, a symbol of Christ, and a voice said, "In this sign, conquer." He took the sign as his emblem, won the battle, and was thus converted to Christianity. In a dream quoted from Artemidorus on this page, a burning house symbolizes a fever. The human body is often represented as a house. Left, from an 18th century Hebrew encyclopedia, the body and a house are compared in detail, turrets as ears, windows as eyes, a furnace as stomach, etc. Right, in a cartoon by James Thurber, a henpecked husband sees his home and his wife as the same being. The energy of archetypes can be focused, through rituals and other appeals to mass emotion, to move people to collective action. The Nazis knew this and used versions of Teutonic myths to help rally the country to their cause. Far right, a propaganda painting of Hitler as a heroic crusader. Right, a solstice festival celebrated in summer by the Hitler Youth, a revival of an ancient pagan festival. Top, a child's painting of Christmas includes the familiar tree decorated with candles. The evergreen tree is connected with Christ through the symbolism of the winter solstice and the new year, the new eon of Christianity. There are many links between Christ and the tree symbol. The cross is often seen as a tree, as in a medieval Italian fresco, left, of Christ crucified on the tree of knowledge. Candles in Christian ceremonies symbolize divine light, as in the Swedish festival of St. Lucia, above, where girls wear crowns of burning candles. Two examples of belief in the magical quality of breath. Below left, a Zulu witch doctor cures a patient by blowing into his ear through a cow's horn to drive the spirits out. Below, a medieval painting of the creation depicts God breathing life into Adam. Right, in a 13th century Italian painting, Christ heals a blind man with spittle, which, like breath, has long been believed to have a life-giving ability. Our world is dissociated like a neurotic. Left, the Berlin Wall. Every society has its idea of the archetypal paradise or golden age that it is believed once existed and will exist again. Left, a 19th century American painting embodies the idea of a past utopia. It shows William Penn's treaty with the Indians in 1682, occurring in an ideal setting where all is harmony and peace. Below left, a reflection of the idea of a utopia yet to come. A poster in a Moscow park shows Lenin leading the Russian people toward the future. Above, the Garden of Eden.